Coming up shortly, a nanoparticle treatment breakthrough for multiple sclerosis. But first, into outer space. After a decade-long journey, the European Space Agency's Rosetta probe has finally locked into orbit around the comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko, which is currently more than 400 million kilometres away. And if that journey wasn't impressive enough, the Rosetta team are now planning to actually land a probe called Philae on its surface.
So I spoke to the Open University's Professor Ian Wright, whose Ptolemy experiment is on board the probe, to find out how you pick a perfect parking spot on a comet.
Earlier in the year, we did a practice of this where we kind of took some data that we kind of imagined we might get. And then we sat around and worked out how we would do it. And the whole point of the practice was to find out what the limitations of the process were and so on and so forth. Of course, you can probably imagine that the shape model we were using at that point looks nothing like the body that it turned out to be. So, you know, that has been a surprise to us.
So you didn't know what the comet actually looked like close up until you could get close enough to really photograph it?
Absolutely right. I mean, we've been using a couple of different shape models that have been produced over the years. But they're really kind of, you know, they're what you might call potato shaped rather than this rubber duck shape. So that has put some tremendously interesting constraints on the mission in terms of flight dynamics and all that jazz. But there are two aspects really to selecting the landing site. I mean, we can look at the images and we can pore over those all day long. And the scientists can say this area looks interesting, that one looks exciting and all that sort of stuff. But we have to factor in other aspects of this. Is the area even reachable, you know, with the orbital constraints that we've got? We have to worry about illumination. We don't want too much and we don't want too little. Too much and we get too hot. Too little, we don't charge the solar panels up. And of course, at any one instant, we've got to be able to communicate from the lander back to the orbiter. And obviously, we want to land on something that's reasonably doable, so something that's reasonably flat, should we say, as opposed to vertiginous. The whole thing here on is being controlled by the, you know, the mission engineers and so on. And if, for whatever reasons, the comet suddenly became violently active, you know, we may have to take evasive action.
When are you going to release the lander, or are you waiting for just the right moment?
There will be absolutely a date and time when it's scheduled to happen. It is currently penciled in for November the 11th, but I think a decision will be made towards the end of September to either clarify that or change it. There are just huge amounts of work to do from the mission dynamics point of view.
Assuming that the lander does make it safely onto the surface of the comet, what sort of experiments is it going to be doing there? What's it looking for?
There are about 10 experiments, 10 instruments on the lander. There are cameras, there's a drilling system, there's an instrument like my own, which is what is known as a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer. And to explain that, it's a miniaturized analytical laboratory where we will take in samples and heat them up and find out what comet's made out of. There are devices which will determine the physical properties of the surface, how hard it is. There's a microphone to listen to any dust particles raining down. There are various sensors in the feet to determine temperatures and so on and so forth. There's just a whole range of different instruments on there.
It must be an incredible feeling to be involved in this, because I can remember looking up in the sky. There's been a couple of comets that I think in my living memory that have been up and we've seen them. But then to think that there's actually, we've sent something up to a comet and we could now land on it. That's an incredible achievement to even get this far, isn't it?
I've been working on this for over 20 years, and I can't say I've been working on it full time for 20 years, but it's never been far away over that period of time. So yes, we're excited, but also this is the end of a very long, hard slog. And, you know, we're looking forward, hopefully, to a successful outcome. I must admit, in my lifetime, I've looked up in the sky at some fairly duff comets. Every comet of the century turns out to be not that interesting or not that exciting. So this is a different kind of reward, I think.
That was Ian Wright from the Open University.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with me, Chris Smith, and also with Kat Arney. And later in the show, we're going to be talking all about the amazing science, which is 3D printing. We'll even find out how you can print fruit. And we sent one of our people off to eat it. We'll find out how they got on later.